Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today is our holiday episode. That has nothing to do with the holiday, but it will come out during the holiday, so get ready for that. But it is our continuation of watching the X-Men films in chronological order, sort of. Yes, it gets a little messy, but we finally did it. We finally made it through all the First Class movies, nothing against them, but we have gotten to the, as Elisa said earlier, the better X-Men movies. There's two of them. Yes, yeah, true, very true. So we're starting with X-Men, which if you try to look it up is probably the hardest thing to look up on the internet because it's just called X-Men. And if you look up X-Men 2000, which is when the movie came out, you get a bunch of comics from 2000 that came out. So very difficult to look up, but all in all, a wonderful start to the X-Men franchise, being the original X-Men film. I will say I learned something new about this film, which is the original screenplay, not necessarily the screenplay that we get in this movie, but the idea screenplay that kind of like sparked getting X-Men on the silver screen was in the 1980s. God. 1984. There was this guy, let's see, Gary Conway and Roy Thomas. They worked for Orion and they had the rights to make an X-Men film, and they wrote a screenplay, and then Orion fell into financial trouble and development stalled, and then they lost the rights to X-Men, and so that movie never came out. But I would love to see an X-Men movie from the 80s. I love 80s movies, so yeah. I can't imagine like what crazy practical effects they would have used.
Circle back again, this was written in the 80s, or the film would have been set in the 80s?
It was written in the 80s. 1984 is when they started working on it.
Okay. Huh. Could you imagine who they would have cast?
No. But I'm sure it would have been like...
like, we could go back... yeah, well, we need to make a grid of like, who were the hit people during that time, and like, who do we think
would it have been like an 80s action movie? So would we have got like Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like, I don't... there's people that feel like were big action actors.
It's almost like you think of like the Expendables, right?
Yes.
It's almost like them.
Yeah, that
in
cast.
Their younger years, that would have been like half of the X-Men right there.
Yeah, it would have been so much action. I would have loved that movie.
Probably
bright lights.
Because especially like you said, 84.
Yep.
Yeah, we need to see what else was around during that time.
All I can think of is like Valerie Bertinelli playing Rogue.
Hang on, I gotta look up 1984 films. Because I just want to know what was coming out during that time. Dreamscape.
Is that like Dirty Dancing era? Because then we could have had like Patrick Swayze playing Wolverine.
16 Candles, Neverending Story.
Ah, oh, such good ones.
Footloose. So we, yeah, like, yeah, Footloose. Yeah.
Kevin Bacon as Cyclops. I don't want that.
Right? I'm trying to find like Dune.
Dune.
Yeah, I don't see like action films. Oh, Nightmare on Elm Street, Gremlins.
We rewatched Gremlins the other night and Gremlins 2.
I would totally love just if we wanted to do a one special episode cover The Last Starfighter. Because that's one of my favorites. Yeah, so like sci-fi movies during that time, you had Dune, Starman, Last Starfighter, Star Trek, The Search for Spock, Terminator. I figured that's what I thought when Terminator.
Yeah. I think that it would have been a lot more practical effects.
Yeah.
Which would have been so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been very cool. That's my favorite thing.
Speaking of Terminator, I saw just this morning where the original concept for a Spider-Man movie would have been directed by James Cameron.
Was going to produce the X-Men movie as well.
What?
But ended up not being part of it.
He had other stuff going on. Oh, yeah.
Another side note, I'm on a Cameron kick right now, so watch True Lies last night.
Well, apparently Stan Lee got Cameron interested in making a Spider-Man movie, and so the X-Men James Cameron movie fell through.
Womp.
So we can blame Stan Lee for that.
And James Cameron.
But, you know. but let's get into the movie, because so much exciting stuff happens in this movie, and it really sets off this universe that I really hope gets built upon, as opposed to the First Class universe getting built upon. They got way out of hand way too fast. And this, I felt like, was a more gradual build. So I'm hoping that this is the building blocks that we use for the future of X-Men and the MCU. But we kind of start off focusing on Rogue, who, like, I don't know, weird choice to be like the lead through these movies, or at least the first two. She's a part of the third one, but it really seems like in X-Men and X2, Rogue is like a central character. But she never gets to be like cool comic book Rogue. We never see like flying through the air.
Right.
I guess it makes sense that they have like a teenage character that's kind of the entry point for the audience. Since that would have been kind of the target audience is like people Rogue's age and everything. And I guess probably also since they got Anna Paquin to play her, because it's easy to forget now since like she did True Blood and stuff since then, but she had just won an Oscar. Like I think she is still the youngest Oscar winner in history. She was like 11 when she won one.
What was it for?
The Piano, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, she was a big deal back then. And because this was kind of my entry point for X-Men whenever I was young, I really liked Rogue as a character. And also because she's country. and this is the only movie where she is country, by the way. She sounds like she's from Mississippi in exactly one movie. So to me, it makes sense that they kind of use her to get, again, kind of this target teenage group into the world of the X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. But then I almost feel like the second movie, it's weird because it feels forced whenever they do Rogue stuff. Whereas like by the second movie, everyone cares more about the like main X-Men.
Yeah.
And so they have this whole like side story with her and Bobby and Pyro. And you're just like, what is this? Like, why do you keep splitting up the group so that we can see Rogue and Bobby doing stuff? Like, I don't know.
But even by then, it's, you know, it's all about Wolverine.
Absolutely. You
know, once the opening sequence with Wolverine and X-Men is just so, like, it's just badass. Like, it's just like, mm-hmm. yeah.
And he's,
and it's one of,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's one of a few early Marvel movies where they've got a cage fight.
Yeah. But it becomes like an X-Men like, trope.
Yeah, it's like the start of the cage fights. So we should do a Marvel ranking for all cage fight scenes.
there's like this idea of like mutant versus mutant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird that that's what they lean on. But I will say that I think the casting in this movie really helped boost a lot of these people's careers moving forward. Not mm-hmm. that they like didn't, a bunch of them didn't already have like, you know, blossoming careers or
well really really careers. Established careers,
right? But like I feel like this movie really took some of them to a new level as far as what they were able to do and what we've seen them in since. I mean, Wolverine is the perfect example, right? Hugh Jackman mm-hmm. as Wolverine then led to X2 being sort of like a Wolverine origin story to then they kind of faltered with Dark Phoenix. Mm. And I feel like they saw the potential they had with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. So then all of a sudden they started pumping out these Wolverine movies on the side. And now he's out of all of them, probably the most iconic X-Men character apart from Professor Xavier and
right.
and Magneto, but he's the hardest one for me, I think, moving forward to see be recast. Like anybody else being recast is like, okay, I get it, right? Like mm. but Wolverine is Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman is Wolverine.
Anybody and let us not forget Hugh Jackman was technically a recast.
Yeah.
Because they had the first one drop out last minute. And so they just brought Hugh Jackman on, like, literally within a couple weeks of them having to film. And he did this with the role. Unbelievable.
Right. Right.
And also, we only thought Hugh Jackman was jacked in this movie.
Yeah, no, he was. Yeah.
Right.
Like, wow, that dude's really, really built. Turns out, not yet.
Yeah, miles not yet. Ago. Yeah.
Saw something... the other day, I didn't go read the full article, but I guess he had done something where he was talking about his regrets for leaving the character for like the short sprint, you know? Mm-hmm. You just imagine if like he just stayed committed, like what other Wolverine films we could have gotten.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even just like other X-Men movies that we got.
Just any of that, yeah.
That were sort of like based around him. Because even if you think about the like Days of Future Past, right? That's mm-hmm. an X-Men film, mm-hmm. but like really, it's just another Wolverine film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we're just following him.
Yeah.
Well, and we can't get too far from the actual opening sequence here with Magneto, the portrayal of him being young and being put in a concentration camp. And that mm-hmm. was supposed to turn into what was probably going to be a much better origin movie for Magneto that followed him as a young man mm-hmm. in Europe. And so that, I love the opening sequence. That's still one of my favorite scenes in this entire franchise today.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And it could have been, God, if we could have got a whole movie like that, that would have been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That one stuck with me. Because mm-hmm. this is like teenage primetime years, like just how dark and gritty that was, intense. Like, this is one mm-hmm. of the most memorable scenes for any comic book fan for comic book movies. So mm-hmm. good.
And to even see it like sort of replayed.
Yeah.
In First Class when they like kind of remind you of.
Yeah.
Eric's beginning and they like, pulled so heavy from this scene. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm.
I think one thing that the movie really has going for it is that it has a plot.
Mm-hmm.
It has a story, but the story is sort of like the secondary thing that you're watching. You're more watching the like development of all these characters
mm-hmm.
and just getting so excited. Like the whole time I was like, oh my gosh, like I can't wait to watch X2. I wish that X3 had been different and like gone some other way, because they do such a good job of building up these characters. I think the only one that they don't build up well in this movie is Jean. I think she just like, Jean is like the second most powerful psychic on Earth. And in this movie, she just doesn't do anything.
Well, like, to this movie's credit, it never drags. It manages to introduce all these characters, and it does so in a nice, clean hour and 45 minutes. Do y'all remember there was a time when they made movies like this that were less than 2 hours long?
Yeah.
Blows my mind now. But, yeah, they just, they don't stop and spend enough time with Jean. I agree there. And also with Storm. We don't really see very much of Storm in this. And she's such a great character. Yeah, we will have to talk about Jean and Scott and everybody later. But yeah, I totally agree that they are not fully fleshed out here. We just kind of get like a, hi, this is what this person is like. We're just kind of getting everything in place with this movie.
Right. But even with Storm, like we get to see Storm kick butt.
Do Storm stuff.
And yeah, in a fight, whereas I feel like Jean is able to stop Toad in midair, but then he spits on her, so that doesn't work.
Gross.
And so the rest of the time she's like flailing around on the ground, can't breathe. And before that, I feel like the only other thing that happens to her is whenever Wolverine gets there the first time and she's putting a needle in his arm, he like turns around and puts her in a chokehold. So like the whole movie, I just feel like Jean can't breathe. And we never get to see her do it. Even when they go into Cerebro, she's like, yeah, no, I'm not strong enough to do Cerebro. So it's like they just make Jean feel weak when she's not weak.
Yeah. Like, as a kid, I didn't understand that Jean was supposed to be so powerful.
Right.
I was just like, who even is this? Why doesn't she have a cool name?
Right.
Right. We don't get the tease until the next film, which that whole like final shot was incredible. And even during that time, I was so heavy on the X-Men animated series.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was getting that character development and knowing like where they're going and things like that.
Which I know we're talking about the movies, but like if you're looking for something fun to watch and like really, really well done and cool as far as like Marvel Comics goes, definitely watch the original X-Men series. Mm-hmm. I mean, it follows so many stories. Like every major X-Men story is played out in that series, but not in like a rushed way. Like they do each one justice based on like what happens in the comics. So it's very cool. Mm-hmm. And there's like a million episodes, so it'll take you a while to get through.
Yeah.
And to get ready for X-Men 97 that should be coming out next year or the year after.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I want to know where that will pick up.
Yeah. What did y'all think of Magneto's casting?
A+.
Like,
even during the time, like first seeing it.
I can't imagine anybody else playing him.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like during that time, I probably went in pretty much blind on it all, but I don't know. That was the only thing that I kind of struggled with initially, was just having Magneto it just felt like the character was too old. I get the whole, like, you know, once you have the character development there in the relationship, it works, but just my initial reaction on that was like a bit off, because I don't know. I just couldn't, it's difficult for me to picture Magneto being much older.
I think for me, like, I think I've talked about this before, but going into, like, the X-Men movie, X-Men was, like, the majority of what I knew as far as comics went. I didn't read a lot of, like, Avengers or anything like that. I pretty much only read X-Men comics. So I was super excited, and I felt like he played a very strong Magneto. And by the second movie, it was like, yeah, this is Magneto. Like, he's got it. And I feel like, yes, they were older, both he and Charles, but it's kind of how I saw them anyway in the comics. Is like Magneto always had white hair, Charles is always in his wheelchair and bald. So it was just kind of like they're cast a little bit on appearance, but then it's like a bonus that they can also act really well. But I also didn't, you know, at the time we didn't have anything like the Marvel Cinematic Universe mm-hmm. where you were looking like 12 to 13 years down the line of these movies still coming out. So realistically, three movies was like all I was expecting anyway, because that's the thing, right? Everyone was trying to do trilogies. So it was like, okay, well, you know, we may get two more of these movies, or we may get some like spin-off movies or something, but I never really expected it to be like 12 movies deep with these actors. So I think at the time that didn't bother me as much as it would now. Like now, if they were like, hey, we're casting, I don't know, I'm trying to like pull a new character off the top of my head that we haven't seen yet. That's like a big character, mm-hmm. like Blade. Okay, so Blade's been cast, but like let's pretend Blade wasn't cast. If they come back tomorrow and they're like, hey, we're casting Wesley Snipes as Blade again, I would be like,
okay.
For how many Blade movies are we going to get? Like, unless you try to churn them all out really quick, he's a little bit older. I don't know that he's going to be able to do all the like crazy flipping around Blade stuff.
Hey,
like,
if Tom Cruise can do a thank you video while free falling, I think we can get maybe five more Blade movies from Wesley Snipes.
Did you see the tweet that they said that if Tom Cruise and Christopher Nolan ever did a movie together, they would wind up killing Tom Cruise?
Yeah,
that is accurate.
It is very true. I feel like that now I would think more about the longevity than when this movie came out. It was less thinking like I'm going to see this, you know, this portrayal of Magneto and Professor X for the rest of my life. It was more like, but now that I am here, it is like, oh man, like, wouldn't that be great if they could just be them forever? But
Well, and like if you're looking at the timeline of this movie, it makes sense for them to cast people their ages to play these characters, because that would be about their age. If we're going by this being in the near future from 2000, and it shows Magneto being in a concentration camp when he looks like he was about 10, 11, 12, then he would be in his 60s by the time he was this character. I don't know, mutants age different, because like Mystique is also that old, as we learned in the earlier movies. But part of her mutation keeps her from aging normally. But I don't know if Magneto's does that. So yeah, it never crossed my mind whenever I was a kid, especially, that either one of them were too old to play these roles. I just thought that's the way that they are. And also, like, they did the thing where they cast these not only just veteran actors, but like Shakespearean level theater actors to play these big bombastic comic book characters. And so to me, that just works beautifully. I love both of them in these roles. And I know I've said it before, but one of my teachers in college made us watch a video of young Ian McKellen being in, I think it was a Christopher Marlowe play, and she warned us. She's like, he was very beautiful. And we were like, okay, sure. And then she turned on the video and we all went, because he was. It was like shocking.
I'm bummed that we won't get X-Men movies like this anymore. Like, I feel like now, as much as I enjoy the Marvel movies, they are very heavy CGI films. And that's what I was trying to say, like, or when we were talking about, you know, this potentially being an 80s movie, like, practical effects are always going to look better. And I even think about when we did our Wolverine Origins movie, it's like, why are his claws CGI'd the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas in this movie, he just has like this little thing that he holds in his hand with the claws attached to it, so they look like they're coming out of his hand. Like, it looks so much better. I don't know why we have to CG everything. And I feel like when we get X-Men in the future, there's going to be
It's yeah,
so
like,
much.
Like the Wolverine's gonna be in this bucket of like films that it feels like it's just a playground. It's like we got this new tech. This would be great to test it out on. But it's such a big brand, we know people are gonna go see it. You know, it's just one of those. But that is a question like I have, is like especially with this going into the MCU, you know, that was one of the minor little differences, but I thought it was so cool. Is like Wolverine, you know, the claws kind of come out between his fingers versus, you know, typically it's like a butt, like on his wrist, like, or like on top of his hand. So I wonder what they'll do in the new one.
Yeah. But I even think about things like, I know this is an X2, but we see it in X1 too, is when Nightcrawler is like leaping around. It's clearly a guy on wires leaping around. When Toad in this movie is jumping from pillar to pillar, it's clearly a real person on wires jumping from pillar to pillar. I feel like now they would have a like CG body double and they would just animate it leaping. Like think about Mantis, right? When Mantis is jumping around in the Guardians of the Galaxy special, that's not a person. That's a CG scary CG monster that they've created leaping from pole to pole. And so it's like it just has a different feel to it than if it was a real. I know it looks a little goofy and you can tell it's a person on wires, but I kind of like that more because it's like, well, at least it's a real person doing that stunt.
And that's why they cast people like Ray Park in those roles, because they can do that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Going back to like the whole Tom Cruise thing, like I was talking with my wife about this last night. I was just like, that's just like, I just love the, like, say what you will about Tom Cruise. He's a Hollywood star. And just the fact that he's committed to do that kind of stuff. Why can't more people do that? So we can stick with these practical effects and better experiences.
Right.
He is insane, but it makes for good movies.
Yeah.
speaking of Ray, we were talking about this before we started the episode, but most of you probably know the guy that plays Toad is also the same guy that plays Darth Maul. And we do get like a little, I want to say it's a little Star Wars nod after he nods.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Storm down the elevator shaft. He pulls the pole holding the door open and he like does a quick twirl and then holds it behind his back and does like the Darth Maul stance. Funniest thing in the movie to me this time watching it. I was like, oh my gosh, that's right. He's Darth Maul. Like so funny that they threw that in there. I don't know if it actually was a nod to that, but I'm gonna say it was.
It probably was. It probably was.
We do get a lot of good action in this movie. We get a fun fight scene between Wolverine and Wolverine, which is really cool because, like, I have never thought of Rogue as being able to copy powers. So the fact that she, like, pulls out adamantium claws, which, like, she's able to cut a rope with them, but then when they like clash claws together, Logan's actually like cut through hers. So like, are those her fingers? Like, what is that part of her body? I don't know. Like how that works. So that was like an interesting
Well, she can generate stuff. We know that. Yeah. She can make it look like she's wearing different clothes and all that. I don't know if she can make adamantium. So I think that was something that looked like it, but maybe wasn't that like that kind of metal.
Right.
But yeah, we were also watching that and I was like, huh, that doesn't 1,000% make sense. Because she like even switches back midair into her normal form. And I was like, why would she give up that skeleton covered in metal? And Mason was like, she probably doesn't do all that on the inside, Elisa. It's probably just an appearance thing. I was like, well, we don't know. It's very unclear.
Yeah, but if it is an appearance thing, like when she creates the claws and then they get cut in half, is that part of her body? Like, wouldn't she be bleeding somewhere when she transformed back? Like, I think of it like, what's his name? Oh my gosh. Tin Man. Why can't I think of his name? The Russian.
Oh, Colossus?
Yes, Colossus.
That's not it. Mm. Okay.
It is, yeah, yes. It is. Okay. So I know there's a moment in the comics, I believe, where Colossus gets his head dented and then he can never change back. He has to stay in his Colossus form for the rest of his life because if he changed back, that dent would kill him. And so it's like, well, that's like a cool way to realize like, oh, he has this power, but like if he gets physically harmed while he's in his power mode, he can never change back because that damage will happen to his like a human body. Mm-hmm. So thinking that way, I feel like it would have been cool at least if she had like changed back and the top of her hand had been cut or something, like something would have shown that, because she yells like it hurts her. So
But like, what happens if she takes her shoes off? Is that the same thing?
Does she wear shoes?
Whenever she changes into somebody who's wearing shoes. Because whenever she's the senator's assistant, like she's like in a suit and everything. And then she changes back. But what if she had like, I don't know, taken her jacket off? Mm-hmm. Is that?
Yeah, like part of her skin. Ugh.
What?
These are questions that we want answered, Marvel. Yeah. Answer these for us.
Actually, don't. I don't want to think about it anymore.
I do think it's cool that we immediately jump into an X-Men world where people know about mutants. Mm-hmm. And there's already sort of, they're setting up this, do we like mutants? Do we not like mutants?
Right.
As opposed to kind of what we get in First Class where like, nobody knows about mutants, and then all of a sudden everyone knows about mutants. I kind of like where we already all know about it. I'm hoping that when we get mutants in the MCU, it's done in a way where like we don't have to sit through an entire origin for mutants. Mm-hmm. I think I would rather them just, like we said, either show up because of the snap or show up because of some sort of like cosmic energy, but I don't want to watch a whole movie about some mutants hiding the fact that they're mutants, and then at the end they accidentally reveal that they're mutants and now the world knows mutants exist. Like, we already done that, so
right. Yeah, because that was another like fuzzy area. It's like when do powers actually like happen, like if you are a mutant? And then like, especially with like Rogue story, it's kind of like, do her parents know, or is it just one of those like it happens and what do they do, like how does that affect their lives, and where do they stand on mutants, non-mutants? One of them a mutant, but they've kept it a secret this long,
right? Yeah. And that, like, I feel like that gets talked about more in the second movie, which is kind of why the second movie to me is always the one that like stands out as X-Men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they do kind of touch on that with like Bobby and his family, and I think Rogue even talks about the fact that like her family doesn't accept it, so that's why she doesn't go back.
That would explain why she ran away.
Yeah, it's just like that's like the X-Men dilemma, right? Like, yes, they build up all these villains for them to face, but really, if you think about the villain, the main villains are like the Brotherhood of Mutants, which are really just like a bunch of mutants that are tired being oppressed because they're mutants.
Yeah.
So it's like a, it's like real world issues being dealt with, but with superheroes and supervillains and superpowers. Although I guess they're mutations technically. So I think that's why X-Men really stands out to me, at least, as like, I enjoy X-Men stuff more than Avengers and the regular heroes. Although I feel like lately they have been sort of bringing more of that in, dealing with like real world consequences, or like if they accidentally destroy a building and there's people in the building, well, now you've killed those people. Like, that stuff is showing up more and more in superhero stuff in general. Mm-hmm. And I think that that makes it more relatable. Like, it's not just, you can't just fly through a town and destroy everything in a fight and leave and it's cool. Or drop an entire city from the sky and destroy that city and then be like, oh, that was cool. Like, no, there's repercussions for that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Marvel's been doing that and doing really well with it. So I'm hoping that when they introduce mutants, they don't forget that that's kind of like the main draw.
Yes, it brings to the question of like, within especially within the MCU realm, could we potentially, like, what side are we going to see first, really? Are we going to see a group of good mutants, like, save somebody? But then we're looking at, like, the government side of things, the military side of things, of like, whoa, this is, mm-hmm. this is new, like, we got to control this. Or is it going to be completely opposite, and you have, like, Magneto or some other right. on the eviler side that's destroying stuff that's kind of...
Right. I think it would be interesting for them to approach it with maybe the government side first. Like, maybe mm-hmm. we get introduced to Stryker and the X-Force mm-hmm. first.
Yeah, yeah.
And we realize that, like, oh, these are, like, not, these guys are not great. Mm-hmm. And maybe from there we get introduced to, they try to pull in, like, Cyclops or, you know, like, mm-hmm. somebody more recognizable who's then like, no, this isn't right.
That or a science approach where they're, like, because it seems like the way they're trickling it in, it's like, if you look at Ms. Marvel, it's like, oh, it's a mutation, you know, and it's kind of mm-hmm. going more of this like, well, this is interesting. Like, we need to observe this from a scientific mm-hmm. standpoint. And could that lead into Stryker, you know?
Mm-hmm. I just think that's like a cool way to introduce them, because mm-hmm. I feel like the Marvel films have done so much work to kind of build up that, like, the government is not bad, but definitely not good.
Right.
And we're getting this Thunderbolts, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, that's essentially what that is to our knowledge so far, is that she's pulling these, like, people that are trying to do the right thing, but doing it in the wrong way. And she's pulling them in to make this, like, super team. So it's like, it would make sense for them to introduce some sort of, like you said, maybe some, like, science division that's doing tests on people that have abilities and then trying to, like, figure out a way to turn them into, like, spies or agents or weapons. And maybe that gets out to somebody, and then that's how we get introduced to the fact that mutants are here. I don't know. I think that would be cool. A cool way to do it. To sort of introduce the fact that they've been here for a while, but it's being kept under wraps by this government force.
Yeah. It's basically going to be, Mystique's just going to show up at the Avengers headquarters and just roaming around like.
So I did actually have a thought on that. If we do get Mystique, that could be a perfect way to bring some of these actors back in who are no longer going to be doing these roles. Like, they could very easily bring Robert Downey Jr. back and he could show up somewhere, and mm-hmm. then we could find out that that was Mystique. like pretending to be Iron Man. I think that would be a cool way to like give them cameos in the future without them having to sign on to do like a full movie. Cause I know that was kind of like the problem. They were like, I don't want to get shoehorned into doing 600 of these. It's like, that's fine. But like show back up every now and then when Mystique is trying to be sneaky. Could be cool.
Yeah.
Something that Mason pointed out when we were watching this is he's like, Mystique can do everything. Like if she takes over somebody who's supposed to be flying an airplane, she can fly that airplane. She's supposed to be working in the White House. She knows her way around there. She knows everything she's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. He's like, she's doing the homework before she's doing all these mm-hmm. things. And I was like, well, it helps that she's, you know, apparently like 70 years old and has all of this fun life experience to draw from.
So I want to ask a question, speaking of Mystique, because we do get kind of like a, this is pre-end credits movie, but we do get like an end credit scene before the credits where we see the senator talking and then his eyes are yellow and it's like, oh, that's Mystique. I do want to know, like, what do you guys think happened to the senator?
He melted.
So he melts, but like he melts into the ocean, right?
Yeah.
So like, is he still in the ocean? Could he like ever like come back on land and reform?
I don't think so. I think that they said that since his body was rejecting the mutation, it couldn't handle having those differences. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's actually dead. And really, okay. It couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Gets turned into a weird gloop monster.
Yeah.
He's just, he's one with the ocean.
By the way, he waterifies on the table. So he doesn't even get to be reunited with the ocean. Somebody brought in a shot vac and just...
sucks him up.
Like, well, that's that.
It's interesting because, like, I know that that was kind of... Again, this is all, like, pre-planning for this, like, multi-movie phase leading to a bunch of other movies. But it almost seemed like this was them... trying to get us to a Terrigen Mist situation, like them converting people who could potentially, because I mean, that's what Terrigen Mist does, right? Like if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it, instead of liquefying people, it like turns people into stone. And if you accept the mutation, then you break free of the stone cocoon and now you have a mutation. If you don't, then you're dead and you stay like a statue forever. I think in the comics, it's more like if you are a mutant, you go into like a cocoon state and then you come out with powers. And if you're not a mutant and there's no mutation, then you just die in the mist. So there's this sort of drawing from comics aspect that again is like something that I hoped got brought into Ms. Marvel. We never did see that.
Yeah.
I'm still like a little hazy and hope that they explain Ms. Marvel a little bit more in the future because she has the little gauntlet thing that gives her power, but also she has a mutation that I guess allows her to use the power.
I'm wondering if that's going to be explained in the Marvels.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Or at least touched on.
Yeah, I guess the question is like who is she going to spend most time with and can they answer those questions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like, are they even going to bother trying? Because like now we're working on this Kang dynasty,
yeah,
and that doesn't necessarily like have anything to do with mutants currently. So maybe they're holding off on explaining the mutants. But I do hope that we get some more at least. Like, bring them in; they're cool.
Yeah.
I guess the last thing for me on this movie is this movie out of all the X-Men movies. Has my favorite look for Sabretooth. He's not the best of acting Sabretooth. I still like live, right? I think that's the best Sabretooth, but like the look is like the most comic book accurate of of everyone in this movie.
Yep.
And 100%. It's wonderful.
One of my favorite parts. This was played by Tyler Mane.
He's a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
I think so. He's portrayed Michael Myers in the Halloween 1 and 2. Is it Rob Zombie that did those?
Yes.
Yeah, Rob Zombie. Yeah.
They were so gross.
Yeah. So he's done a lot of that kind of stuff.
And he's an actual giant. I looked up how tall he is. He's 6'9".
He's perfect.
He's crazy.
Like, it looks great. I love it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they, in the very next movie, they were like, yeah, nah, that's too much. It's like, was it? It was awesome.
I hope that if they, when they get to X-Men in the future, that we can get some of the kind of more comic accurate costumes, because they're so fun.
Right.
And this one, they're all just wearing like black jumpsuits. I'm like, oh, this is lame. Which it totally fits with like a late 90s, early aughts aesthetic. It is 100% in line with that. If you put any of these costumes, if you put them in the Matrix, nobody would know.
Yeah.
Though what's kind of silly is that's kind of where Guardians 3 is going. They're all wearing the same.
So I agree, but at least in Guardians of the 3, they are wearing their comic accurate Nova uniforms.
Yeah,
Nova, so it's like, because I thought that too. When I saw the trailer, I was like, ew, why are they all wearing that? And then I looked at it closer and I was like, oh, it's their Nova uniforms. Like, that's cool. We're finally getting like Guardians of the Galaxy and not just like a bunch of people on a ship together. But I feel like they have teased Wolverine getting a comic accurate suit basically the entire time Wolverine has been around. It's wild to me that we haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, the decisions and reasoning have to be so silly around that. Like, I wonder how
they
much
not want to.
Well, it's just, I'm curious to how much Hugh Jackman like maybe potentially fought for that. I wonder if he fought for it. I guess that's the question, is like, did he ever want to do a comic accurate suit? And if he did, who was pushing against it?
Right.
I think we can all agree that someone who will push for it is Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then I think that goes back to like, what do we think Wolverine's going? Like, what do we think Hugh, like, I won't even say Wolverine, because all we know is that Hugh Jackman is going to be in Deadpool 3. I had this conversation with my fiance. It was that, like, do we think he's going to be in it as Wolverine? Or do we think he's going to be in it as Hugh Jackman? And it's just going to be funny. And they're playing it up like, oh, Hugh Jackman's in the movie. And so we're all like, oh my God, Wolverine's in the movie. But maybe it's not Wolverine. Maybe it's all just a big prank. And he's in it, but he's just in it as Hugh Jackman.
Either way, just take my
now,
money.
Yeah, right, right. Now, Cable's going to be in this again, right?
Yes.
I believe they announced that. Are we getting more time jump multiverse? It's just one of those. Is he going to be in it for like 2 minutes? Like, they just jump into a different universe and he's just sitting at a bar and like, that's it. Like,
That's the struggle here, is that, like, is he going to be in it or is he going to be in it?
Right.
Because I guess we know he's in it in some capacity. So I hope that we do get, you know, even if it's just Hugh Jackman wearing a comic accurate Wolverine costume, but he's not Wolverine, like, I would be fine with that. I just want to see what it would look like in.
Could you just imagine, like, something crazy is going on and he, like, Wade Wilson just passes by the comic accurate and he's just like, looking good, Hugh. And then that's it.
It'll be like the end credit scene. Yeah. Yeah, I think comic accurate suits are making a comeback now. They've been doing it more like in the series, in the movies. They've been trying to incorporate it a little bit more. And I think that maybe in these early Marvel movies, they were like, guys, the comic accurate suits look real dopey in real life. Because like, I can't imagine that like a bright yellow and blue suit is going to actually look good. But I think now we're to a point where they can like make little tweaks to it that make it like believable, but also close to comic accurate. Because I mean, even think of WandaVision, right? Like the comic accurate where they're caught, they're like Halloween costumes, and it was funny, but it was like, yeah, those are really, I mean,
yeah,
they look cool. They don't look as goofy as you think they would look. So hopefully that we do get that in some form moving forward. You know, they're X-Men. They all look a little crazy, right? Like Beast is just like a big furry blue monster. Iceman is a man made of ice. Like, does it look cool? No, it looks weird, but it's cool to see it because like that's what we get in the comics. So yeah, hopefully moving forward, we get some more of that. Well, do you guys have anything else you want to talk about for the movie?
I want to talk about how stupid the love triangle is.
Yeah, I thought about that a lot earlier. You know, it's like, it's almost, it's like the setup. There's always something going on between those three.
Yeah.
And I remember, they just keep it going. Like, even though Jean gives Logan nothing, like, she is genuinely actually committed to Scott. And, like, in my very, very young brain watching this movie whenever I was, you know, a kid, I thought Scott was kind of a tool. I was like, why is he picking on Wolverine? But now seeing it as an adult, I'm like, because Logan is being creepy to his girlfriend. That's why he's being mean to him. Scott did nothing wrong. And even at the end, whenever Logan is like, Rogue's going to have to realize that someone else has captured my heart. I'm like, you've known her for 3 days. And again, she's given you absolutely no attention of that kind. She's just dealing with you. That is it.
Yeah.
And also, so, yeah.
Someone needs to tell Rogue that Logan is like
an adult.
108 years old and she's like 17. Like,
yeah.
Like, at least, like, I can remember, again, being, like, a teenage girl watching this, so I at least kind of get where Rogue is coming from. I think that that's maybe why, in my deranged mind back then, I was like, well, Jean's stupid if she doesn't like Logan, because he's Hugh Jackman. But I recognize now, with all these years of Mystique-like life experience, that Logan's the one who's being a tool here. And that James Marsden, the guy who plays Scott Summers, is a national treasure. He's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful in everything he's ever done.
Yeah, I'll agree. Well, I think that does it for our X-Men. See, it's even weird to just say it. X-Men movie. X-Men movie from 2000. So definitely look out, because next up is X2, which, again, I think it was before we started, but that was like one of the first DVDs I ever owned. So I have watched that movie more than any other Marvel property. I'm ready to talk about that movie.
The hype for the last scene, especially then, was just so unreal. Like, I just remember walking out of the theater and my brother... And because I've got a younger brother, and like we watched the comic together, like, you know, we follow these characters, and we were just losing our minds. Like,
if any movie was going to like kick off the start of some like 30 movie run, it would have been X2. I'm interested to finish X3 just so we can talk about kind of like what happened and why those didn't continue, but X2 is such a good movie. So keep your eyes and ears out for when we do X2. The question this week will be, of all of the X-Men that you know of, who's your favorite X-Men? Who would you like to see in this new run of X-Men comics? Whether it's a villain or a hero, you don't have to just pick like one of the core six X-Men. Like, you can pick any of the new X-Men or anything like that. Just let us know on our social media who you think your favorite X-Men is, and we'll post our favorite X-Men on there. And other than that, I hope you all have a happy holiday, and we will see you all next year. We're at that point now. Isn't that crazy? So yeah, we'll see you all next year.
Bye.